Well, we're just going to hop on in here. We're going to talk about the world's most exciting topic, insurance, right? So, now, all kidding aside, insuring your property to your particular strategy and your particular needs is something that is a little bit more difficult than most people think. And so, you know, that we're going to go through some nuances, we're going to go through some coverages, we're going to talk about, you know, what your strategy is going to demand from your insurance policies and what you need to be looking for. And so, as we're going through this, if you do have a question, you know, raise your hand, I'll try to get to you, or we can keep it to the end. I'm very fluid, it's not a big deal. I am going to walk back and forth, because when I talk, I pace that's just the way it is. So, if you look up and I'm not there, as long as the slides are good, we're good. So let's go ahead and jump into insuring your investment properties. Let's start off with who we are. And Robert did a good job of kind of teeing this up. We're National Real Estate Insurance Group. We have one purpose in life, and that's to insure the real estate investor. We don't sell homeowners and personal auto and all the other products that agents do. We're very, very specialized. And so we are a national agency. We do operate in every state. There is one current exception. We're not writing in Louisiana currently, but that doesn't mean we cannot write there. We're going to talk about the ability to insure one door on a single family all the way up to 20 doors at any one location on multifamily. It covers any occupancy status as well, and so whether it's vacant or occupied or under renovation. There is no long-term commitment. It's a pay-as-you-go platform. And when we talked about the monthly reporter, that's kind of what we're talking about. And so depending on what your strategy is and what you're trying to accomplish with any individual property, you may only need 3-6 months if it's renovation and you're going to flip it. Some of the other carriers out there, they want to sell you a year policy. That's not what we're going to do at NREG. And so when I say NREG, that's National Real Estate Insurance Group as well. No coinsurance. So has anybody in here ever had a claim where you had to deal with coinsurance? It is not fun. And so you're never going to have a coinsurance penalty when you deal with us when we're insuring your property. And what that really means is that we're going to insure to $75 a square foot, which is the threshold for no coinsurance for our carriers. The reason that that's important is for those of you that have dealt with that, that's something else that they're going to account for and take off of the award check at the time of loss. No matter how you cut it, it's a negative experience. But just know with NREG, you're never going to, it's just not ever going to happen. Liability only. So we offer liability only. We can do this on vacant land, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but we can also do it on individual properties. Everybody in here, your investing strategy, where you're investing, how you're investing, whether it's your acquisition strategy, your exit strategy, you're all different. And so this is a truly customizable approach. And that liability only really does play into that. And then lastly, I touched it too quick. We're going to talk about, you know, all the different types that we're going to insure. So let's go ahead and hop in here. So single family, multifamily, condos, mobile homes, Airbnb, vacant land. Basically, if you can buy it and rent it out, we're going to be able to accommodate that. And there always are, you know, certain criteria that we have to meet. But not only that, if it's under renovation, if you're doing ground up construction, we can handle that for you. And then we also do things like coverage for non-performing notes. Lender place. So if you're carrying the note for somebody and they don't insure it properly to your specifications, we can do lender placed on your behalf for you. Now, we're going to get a little bit more technical here, and we're going to talk about the types of coverage and what is appropriate and what is not, because like I said, everybody in here is different. This table strategy is probably going to be very different than this. There's going to be a lot of similarities, but you know, we want to account for what's going to be the best for you, and we're going to give you those options. So we're going to talk about coverage for them. Basic and special. We don't offer abroad. There's no reason to. And under basic form, what you're going to look at is all of the catastrophic perils. So this is, you know, when you have a loan on it, they're going to want to make sure that if it burns down, so fire, lightning, explosion, wind and hail, aircraft, riot and civil commotion, vandalism and malicious mischief. Here's one I never really talk about, volcanic action. Is anybody buying houses on a volcano? No? Okay, I'll bypass that one then. So this is going to be basic coverage. This is going to cover all of your major catastrophic perils. So this is where we're going to start. Now, if you want to talk about special form, there's going to be a difference in how the policy responds to the losses based upon the form that you have. And the biggest difference between these two is with basic, you get all those catastrophic perils that we talked about, but with special form, we're going to add a few more. And the two most important are theft and water damage. Now, there's also falling objects, weight of snow, ice, and sleet, collapse. And then the most obscure one, of course, risk of direct physical loss. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But we're going to talk to you about your individual locations when we're going through the process and discovery of what's going to be the best solution for you. And if you're in the north, when I talk to clients, it's, are you in an area where you're going to see below freezing temperatures often? And in that case, I'm going to strongly advise you to go with special form because it's going to give you that water damage. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit on the water damage here because we always get asked, water damage and flood, are they the same thing? Are they different? And they are very different. So water damage is, and where it's relevant for colder climates, is freezing pipes. If you have a pipe that's froze, then it thaws. Now you've introduced water into your structure. It's a bad day. If you don't have special form, you're not going to get paid for that. And then, of course, theft. Now, there are circumstances that you may want to choose basic over special. Now, if your lender says you have to have one or the other, of course, that's the direction we're going to go. But we're going to talk to you about, you know, what your desire is for that independent location. Water damage, of course, is exactly that, but theft coverage as well. And so theft coverage, if you're in an area where there's more incidents of theft, you know, they're going to steal the compressor from the outside of the building, things like that, I would strongly encourage you to go with a special form. Now, here's the big difference. Let me get it right. There's a cost difference in between these forms. And we really want to sit down and talk to you about what's going to be most appropriate for you and then what your desire is, because at the end of the day, you're going to be paying the premium. But there is a cost difference between these. We've covered the forms. Now let's talk about the loss settlements. Is anybody familiar with ACV, actual cash value versus replacement cost? Okay, so I'm getting a few nods, so I'm not going to get super granular on this. We're able to do either one. And the way that we establish how the loss settlement method is going to be determined is based upon the ITV, or insured to value, of that location, the dollar per square foot. So if you have a 1,000-foot square home, $75 a square foot is going to yield a $75,000 limit, and that's going to give you actual cash value. If you want to do replacement cost, we're going to look at about $125 a square foot, upwards of $150 if you're one of those people investing in Florida. So Florida's a little bit more difficult, but pretty much nationwide, we're going to talk about $125. This is still below the industry average, and so we're going to be able to offer you a better benefit at a lower limit. Now, the difference between these is how you get paid if something happens. And I'm going to kind of go through and give you a little bit of idea as to what to expect. And also how this works into how your strategy is going to perform for you long term. So actual cash value, whether you have replacement cost or actual cash value, an adjuster is going to come out. He's going to have your application. He's going to have your policy. And he's going to assess what's happened. And at that point, they're going to depreciate the location based upon how old it is, how recent are the updates, etc. And this happens regardless. This is not just us. This is the way that it works. And they're going to issue you a check for actual cash value. Now, if somebody burns your kitchen up, we're not going to point any fingers, but it happens, and you say, hey, look, this location doesn't really fit my desire any longer, so I'm going to sell it as is, take your ACV check, and that's fine. You're not under an obligation to do any repairs, and you can just take that and then sell that property. However, if it is something that you want to do the repairs on and turn it back into the location that it was before the incident, replacement cost is what you're going to want to go after. And the difference here is that adjuster is going to give you that check right out of the gate for actual cash value. After the repairs have been done, you submit that back to the carrier, and then they make up the difference. And it's the difference in you can recover the depreciation with a replacement cost. ACV, it is what it is. That's just kind of how that works. And so think about, if you're buying a value property where you're in it good, you've got in it good, but there's a catastrophic loss with it where there's a fire. I like to use fire because it does happen and we've probably all seen it. Do you want to do something with that? Do you want to repair it? If it burns to the ground, am I going to rebuild? Maybe, maybe not. But that's the options that you're going to have. Now, on this one as well, there's also a cost difference. And so we really want to talk to you about what your exit strategy is in the event that these things go wrong. That's how we're going to help determine this, as well as the ITV limit. And it's a 20 to 25% cost difference depending on which one you go with. Now, deductible. Does anybody like having a lot of options for deductibles? You know, some companies are just like, hey, here's what we have, and it may be one or two. Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
So the previous one, the actual cash value and the replacement cost,
mm-hmm.
right? So obviously the actual cash value option is going to be cheaper.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But let's say it's a $100,000 rental house.
Okay.
Okay. The replacement cost is also, let's say the replacement cost of that is $100,000, just a simple example. Now, if somebody goes for an actual cash value for $100,000, that's pretty much then they are covering the replacement cost. Apple to apple comparison.
That's not necessarily set at the time that we do it. And so you can't say, hey, the replacement cost is $100,000, so actual cash value, we're going to do it. It's determined by the ITV, and it will be determined by the amount of depreciation assessed at the time of loss. And so it doesn't necessarily track like that. It's more of a static function. So I get what you're saying, but it doesn't really perform that way.
But this has to be, we have to make this choice when we take the insurance.
Right. Okay, so yes, we're going to talk to you about what you want to do, but it's really going to be dictated by the amount of coverage that you choose for the square footage of that location. So let's say it's 1,000 square feet, because that's easy. I could do 1,000, it's a round number, right? If the value's $125,000, you're automatically going to get replacement cost. It's not, you can't say, well, I really only want actual cash value. The only time that you can't get replacement cost is when you're under that 125. So there are some things that are static that are going to determine this based upon, what the values are that you're asking for. Does that make sense? Okay, perfect. So choosing the right deductible. I've already said that the journey for everybody in this room is different. And so should how you choose your deductible level. So we offer three different deductible levels, $2,500, $5,000, and $10,000. And we see all of them employed, depending on where you're at and where your walk is. That's really the conversation that we're going to have with you. So somebody that's a mature investor, you've been doing this a long time, and your risk tolerances are greater because you have a reserve of cash, you might want to go with a higher deductible. For newer investors, 95% of the time, they're going to go with the lowest deductible. Now, when we say that, there is a cost difference between choosing your deductible. So a $10,000 deductible is going to have a lower premium associated with it because you're taking some of the risk up front, right? That's what that deductible is. So a $2,500 deductible, it's going to yield a little bit higher premium than a $10,000 deductible. And the other thing about it is that if you want to discuss with one of our sales advisors, they'll run it three different ways. It's not going to be, you have to pick this. These are options that are open to you, so please do explore them. Okay, let's talk about liability. I think that investors focus so much on insuring the structure itself. And if you have a loan on it, you don't have a choice. The mortgage company is going to make you carry insurance on that to qualify for the loan, or they're going to force place it on you, which is not a fun thing. But when I talk about liability, we offer premises liability. It is per location. So if you buy a $1 million per occurrence with a $2 million aggregate limit, it's going to be for each individual location. There are options out there in the insurance world where they can say it's a blanket, and you'll have $1 million for, let's say, five locations. We never want to do that with you, because if you ever have more than one claim at any given time, you're taking percentages out of the limits that you can apply to those losses. And so each one of ours has a dedicated limit of $1 million per occurrence with a $2 million aggregate per location. And then that way, if you do have, sequential or even losses at the same time, we're not diminishing your limits per location. And that's really important. The other thing I have to say about the liability is... Okay, so... Yeah. Okay, so let's pull out a hypothetical and let me build a picture for you. So you have three houses on the same street, okay? One of them has that dog. We just talked about the dog bite. Our liability is a little bit different, and I want to talk about that in a moment. The dog bites two different people at two different locations. The claims are assigned to those locations, but if you have $1 million for all three of those, now we're dealing with this one's going to take so much capacity out of this one's going to take so much capacity. We don't want to do that. We want to give you $1 million here and $1 million here because we just don't know what the courts are going to do now. And, you know, I don't trust that, and neither should you. So let's do $1 million per location. There are some carriers out there that will allow you to do less. I'm not going to say anything derogatory, even though I want to on that. But if you've ever sustained any kind of loss where there's serious bodily injury or even a wrongful death, that's the fastest way that you can take every bit of work you've ever done and throw it in the toilet because they will bankrupt you. Liability is the only saving grace for those types of things. And liability, it doesn't matter whose fault it is necessarily. If it happens on the location, you're going to get called into court. Your tenant's probably going to get called into court as well. And I'm not going to go deep down into those scenarios. But let me tell you something about our liability that differentiates us from everybody else. When you look at liability forms, it's all a CGL form, and I'm not going to go down that road with you, but there's a base set of coverages that come on every policy. The exclusions are what determine how that reacts at the time of loss. And so you could have your base form, but they exclude all these things. How many people in here actually read that verbiage? I knew you did. I knew you did. I've talked to you before. Most people don't. And so what you don't know is that there's a lot of standard exclusions on liability forms that we're not really aware of. And like Robert said, your agent doesn't tell you. We're going to tell you. You need to know. This is, you are the client. It's a little bit different scenario for us because you're our only client. But our policy does not exclude dog bite. It gives a, now there is a sublimit, but it's $50,000 for a dog bite. And there's no breed restriction. So if it's a pit bull or a chow or a German shepherd or a chihuahua that just chews your toe off, it doesn't matter. It's going to respond. Everybody else, that's a standard exclusion on their policy. The other thing is it doesn't matter whose dog it is. It's premises liability. If it happens on that location, it's going to respond. Everybody else tries not to pay those. The other thing, and he kind of stole my thunder when he talked about it. I'm like, man, how am I gonna fit that in? But carbon monoxide exposure, it's a real thing. And a lot of places have gas appliances, so we have that. And, you know, you try to service it every year, but that's not a guarantee that something's not going to happen. And so if carbon monoxide is introduced into the living area and somebody becomes sick or, you know, God forbid worse, this policy responds. Everybody else in the market, you know if they respond or not? They don't. They don't include it. They exclude it. Yes, ma'am. Let me come over here. Oh, the little, yeah. Do I credit the policy for those? No. So the question was, is do we give a credit for carbon monoxide detectors within that location? And the answer is no. It's not a prerequisite for the coverage, and so there's not a credit that's applied to that. So, I lost my clicker. I said I was going to walk back and forth. I might as well carry everything with me. All right. So we've talked about the policy form. We've talked about deductibles. We've talked about a lot of different things. Now let's talk about my favorite, the ancillary. So this is really what sets us apart. The forms that we've talked about, the property and the liability, are specifically designed with the investor in mind. Also, we have a whole portfolio of products that come in alongside to bolster those coverages and offer you a customized approach. The first one is the Tenant Protector Plan. This is my favorite. I'm going to kind of geek out on it in a minute and kind of walk through some things with you. But that is probably the number one single add-on value that we offer. Property Managers E&O. So who in here manages your own properties? Lots of you. Now, This applies if you're managing yours. It does not apply if you're managing somebody else's or if that's your career profession. This is for if you're managing your own properties. Earth movement, exactly what you think it is. Terrorism, flood, equipment breakdown, and service line. And I really like service line too, so I'm going to geek out there too, so just be warned. Let's talk about the tenant protector plan. So tenant protector plan, there's two different levels of liability that come with this, and there's three parts to it. So I'm going to go through each one of those. So 60,000 and 100,000 are the limits. And this is tenant protector plan, so you think it really protects your tenants? No. This is protection, additional protection from you. And the unique thing about this is it's for tenant negligent acts. How many people have had somebody frying something in the kitchen and catch the kitchen on fire? That's one of our number one claims. That's a tenant negligent act. Or if they put the space heater too close to the drapes, there's a whole myriad of different things that I can talk about. But if they cause it unintentionally, there is intentional acts are kind of a different deal. But there is additional liability there for you to mitigate against that. So we're trying to preserve your loss history on your primary property policy with this. The other thing that it does is sewer and drain backup. How many know sewer and drain backup's an exclusion on your current policy? It is. And generally you find out the wrong way. We don't want that. So this acts like a buyback and restores sewer and drain backup to your policy. The difference is, let's talk about when I was talking about flood and water damage and all this. This is something that we don't necessarily get. So you have a pipe that breaks. It introduces clean water into the structure. The cleanup on that is very different than if you're having to do cleanup on a biological component that comes up out of the sewer. When it comes up out of the sewer, it's nasty. They call it a brown water incident. So just know that this does restore that to your policy. Also, it gives $10,000 worth of contents coverage for the tenant. This is not there for them to say, hey, look, I need money. Let me torch my living room set so I can go get this. The liability and the contents coverage have a $500 deductible. And we want them to have a little bit of skin in the game on this so we don't have that happen. But really where that comes into play on the coverage is when they catch your kitchen on fire, the fire department has to come in. Well, guess what else gets ruined? Everything else in there. That's to help them recover from that. The other thing is $2,500 of contents coverage for non-negligent tenants. So we have a duplex, we have a kitchen fire. The other side's going to get some smoke damage. They're going to have some damage. So there is coverage for that. And then $1,000 of skip rent. And this one's really pretty specific, so I like to hit it. It's a one-time skip rent benefit, and it's the named insured is going to be the person on the lease. So you don't have to update this on a regular basis. This just flows along with your current leases. And what this does, so let's say your rent's due on the 1st, it's late on the 5th. You drive by on the 8th or whoever drives by on the 8th to say, hey, look, you need to pay your rent and the fee. And there's nobody there. And I don't mean they're not home. There's nobody there. All their stuff is gone. They've abandoned your lease. One-time skip rent benefit of up to $1,000. And when I say up to $1,000, I'm really pretty specific. If your rent is $1,500, you're going to get $1,000. If your rent is $800, you're going to get $800. You're not going to get the $1,000. So the other way is you have somebody and they're sitting in their easy chair and they're watching the Wheel of Fortune and they have a heart attack and die. They can't pay their rent. Triggers a skip rent benefit. The other is for our service members. If you get called up to active deployment, you can't pay your rent. This pays that. And, these people are generally going to be evicted. There's going to be an eviction process that comes along with that. But that's how this thing is triggered. So when we talk about this, for the $60,000, we're talking about $9 plus taxes and fees a month. So it's very, very inexpensive for the coverage that you're getting. It's 11 if you move up to the 100,000. Yes, ma'am.
That skip rent, is that just for 1 month?
Yes. It's a one-time per tenant. Okay. Yeah. So if they don't pay and you're like, hey, we're going to evict, and they don't pay again, you're going to get it one time. It's not a repeatable thing. Okay. Property manager's E&O, $100,000 worth of coverage for, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that similar to renter's insurance, or this is different?
So this is different. This really gives benefit to you, the property owner. It doesn't necessarily give liability for your tenants. So the difference here is if they get a renter's insurance, that liability is more like homeowner's insurance, and it will follow you, okay? This is not for that. This is to benefit you for a tenant negligent act very specifically.
So in my regular insurance, if there is a kitchen fire, will that not be covered?
No, it will. It will. Okay. This is just a way to hedge against losses on that, because we can subrogate back against this policy and get it paid back so that you're not going to be paying that increased premium next year.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
And previously, the other law that premises liability that you mentioned, so is that part of the standard package, or is that you said supplemental?
Okay, so the premises liability, so you have the property and the liability, and it's premises liability. So that's going to be what we sell you for that location. You can have the monoline liability without the property coverage, so we don't cover the structure itself, but we don't offer the property without the liability. So yes, that is part of the base product that we're going to offer. Okay, so let's talk about the $100,000 limit of liability exposure for the management stuff. So a couple of things here, misrepresentation. And you put an ad in the paper and you say, hey, look, it's ADA compliant, but you have one doorway that's an inch too thin. If you think somebody won't sue you over that, you're wrong. They absolutely will. And so things like that are covered under the $100,000. There is a sublimit of $25,000. Has anybody ever had a tenant say, hey, you discriminated against me and you rented to Bob instead of me? Anybody had that? Wow, this is the first time I've never had somebody raise their hand. That's awesome. You guys are obviously doing something right. But there's $25,000 of tenant discrimination that goes with this. And the legal defense costs are covered in the coverage as well, so they don't fall outside. Now, not available in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana. Why does that happen? That's crazy. Maine, New York, Washington, and Wyoming. It's primarily everywhere with a few exceptions on those states. Yes, sir. Sorry?
Does it cover you if you do the master leasing strategy?
The master leasing, okay.
Tony teaches and Lindsey Jensen teaches?
I am not familiar enough to give you an adequate answer on that. I would need to go back and study that. You've got me. I haven't been gotten a long time. So no. Talk to me afterwards, because I really want to understand what they're teaching so that I can integrate that into my next conversation. And then if you give me your email, I'll do a follow-up with you to provide the information as well. Oh, like a sandwich, like a sublease. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just a terminology. So if you're responsible for leasing that out and you're doing the management aspects of this, yes, this is fine. Yeah, thank you so much for the clarification. If you'd have said sandwich or sublet, I'm old, it's like sublet. The sandwich is a new thing for me. And probably not for you guys, but we'll catch up. Let's talk about earthquake. So earthquake is earthquake shock and sinkhole coverage. Very, very simple. I mean, it is what it is. It's not available in Alaska, California, Illinois, Hawaii, or Florida. The reason for Florida is there's an issue between catastrophic ground collapse and sinkhole from a definitional standpoint, and it's all limestone down there, so that's excluded there. Hawaii and, of course, California, Alaska, big seismic areas, you need to go with a full-blown policy from the state on those locations. And this does, when we talk about earthquake shock, it excludes the mudslide, lava flow, things of that nature that are associated. It is just the shock and the damage caused by the shock, not subsequent events caused by that shock. Does that make sense? Okay. Terrorism and political violence. 20 years ago, I'd have been like, this is not a big deal. This is a big deal. It happens. And it's not necessarily terrorism from external. This can be, all kinds of crazy stuff. So acts of terrorism, active assailant events. I hope it never happens to you, but this is covered specifically for that. Acts of sabotage, evacuation exposure, so the cost to evacuate tenants, and then your gross earnings. So there's a business interruption with this for your earnings. So if that happens, The terrorism and political violence will cover that. This is not TRIA. TRIA is a government-offered product that is that's done with all, particularly ENS policies that are out there. They don't cover this. If you go with a TRIA, it has to be mandated by the government that this is an act that's covered. You're really giving the government all of the power in that scenario. Is anybody here comfortable giving the government all the power? Nope. So this is a great product specifically for that. If you're concerned within your area, you know, riots and, I mean, things happen. So this is one of those ones to consider. Flood. Anybody here buy locations in a floodplain and have to do flood coverage? One. I was like, man, we're going to get out of here. Nobody's going to say you're not buying there. One thing to note is that 20% of flood losses happen outside the 100-year floodplain. People don't tell you that. It happens. Things are changing in the environment. We're starting to see things that we haven't seen previously. And so the benefit of this is our own flood product. If you go to the National Flood Program, there's a 30-day waiting period. They're not going to put it in place for you. Ours is day one. The other thing is that when we do that monthly reporter, it's just a monthly biller. This follows that same suit, so you don't have to pay for it all up front. And then we can do the same limits of $250,000 of coverage per location. Yes, yes, we could. And the question is this a good alternative to the FEMA's flood coverage? Yes, this is a private flood coverage. This is going to respond a whole lot more than letting the government say, yes, we're going to do it or we're not. Equipment breakdown. Equipment breakdown is really pretty straightforward. For mechanical aspects of the location, whether it's your, you know, if you got a boiler, if it's a heat and air unit, whatever. If there's catastrophic failure of these systems, there's property, business income, data restoration, ordinance or law, and then the demolition and a whole lot of things that come with this. Now, this does not cover wear and tear. The average life expectancy of mechanical things within a location, there's a finite limit on those. Some may go 20 years, some may go 30 years, and that's just the natural way that they wear down. But if you have a catastrophic failure, and there's also property damage here, so I know we're not really in an area that has a whole lot of boilers, but if you have a boiler, when a boiler goes, it's not a fun thing. It doesn't just take the boiler, it takes little chunks of the wall out and other things. This also covers the property for losses on those types of catastrophes. Service line. Anybody ever had to replace a sewer line? It's not fun. This one is a great add-on coverage for you. What this does is that this is coverage for sewer, water, electric, data, or gas. So if you have a failure, and it can be as simple as, hey, look, we have infiltration of roots into our main line going from the dwelling to the city easement, and that's what this is for. It's not for under the slab. It's for the exterior from the dwelling to easement. And it will replace those lines paid for two. There's two different coverage levels, $10,000 and $15,000, which should be sufficient to replace the sewer line depending on where you're at. But if you need more, the $15,000 is a great option. And it does cover excavation. It covers like shrubs and things. So if they got to go through and bulldoze your flower beds, it's going to cover that. Any concrete that they have to tear up, it's going to cover the replacement of that as well. But just keep in mind, this is not just for sewer. It is the five, sewer, water, electric, gas, data. Septic is a different animal, and it is not covered on this policy. But thank you. I always get asked that one. So yeah, that one's pretty common. Yes, sir? Oh, septic. Does it cover your septic system? And no. All right. Does anybody in here do the creative? Oh, yes. Well, so easement, I mean the main. Yeah, wherever the main is located. Yeah. It's That's a great correction. You're right. It'll go to the main. That's correct. But, you know, where city property is, so there's always that delineation between what is the city's property and what is your property. That's where it's going to go, however that applies in that situation. So, insuring creative investment strategies. Anybody do subject to? Okay. Yep. Yep. Buying notes, things of that nature. So not only do we do the property and the liability for physical locations, if you're going to invest in other vehicles, this is a great way to do it. And so the subject to, does everybody know what a subject to is? If you're at this show, I bet you do. Vina was the one that taught me. And so subject to is, you know, you're buying a property subject to an existing mortgage. And we don't want to mess with that mortgage, right? We don't necessarily want to call attention, so they call the note. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come in and we're going to put you as the primary insured because you're purchasing it. The mortgagee company does not change. The company that's issuing the mortgage, we're going to list them as mortgagee. But we're also going to add the additionally insured for the original borrower. And generally what this does is when you submit the documents back to the mortgage company, they see their name on there, everything is fine, and you can go on about your way. If you ever talk to an agent when you have these, and I know this happens a lot, you bring up subject to and they get the deer eyes. If they act like they know what they're doing, don't do it with them, because ultimately you're going to be upset. And then non-performing notes, that's another one. So, you know, you're purchasing the note from a lender, and they know it's not going to perform. So we'll insure that structure for you, that location, until you can do the foreclosure and restructure. So that's how we're going to help you there. This one's brand new. None of you have ever seen this one before. This is the first time that I've talked about it at any show. Does anybody in here act as a GC on your own flips? All right. This is something we want to talk to you about. Now, this is specifically for flips, meaning that you're going to sell that location. It does work if you're going to act as the GC and you're going to hold it, but there's some limitations, and I'll cover that. So this is for bodily injury and property damage during the course of your construction, because you're operating as the GC and you're subbing it out, and you can still sub it out. That doesn't mean you have to do all the work. There are a few stipulations that we're going to put in there. You need to make sure that your subs have insurance, that you're named as additional insured, and that they carry a contract between you, the GC, and the subcontractor with a hold harmless and all the standard verbiage. That's not out of the ordinary. The products of completed operations extend for 1 year. And this is the difference if you're going to flip it or you're going to hold it. So if you hold it and you rent it out, the products of completed operations go away. Why the products of completed operations are really relevant for you is that you're responsible for all the work that was done because you're the GC. Whether you're like a licensed GC or you're acting, you're responsible for that. And you're responsible for the work and the products of everybody that did the work. So you want to have this tail on it, the year tail, well, we call it a tail. It's a year's worth of coverage after you sell that location. Because let's say there's a handrail that's out front that, you know, Bob's Contracting put on for you. Somebody goes up to it, they go over and they break their wrist, now we have a suit. This will get you that tail. And the thought behind it is that within that first year, if there is something really bad, then it'll come out and we'll be able to cover that. And then it also covers personal and advertising injury, which is a little bit obscure for that. Yes, sir.
So would that be a replacement for the home warranty?
No.
That is offered?
No. No, home warranty is a different animal than this. This is only going to be for the products completed operations, the work itself. A home warranty is there to replace and to replenish the cost of the replacement. That's not what this is for. This is for to cover injuries or property damage as a result of that work. So it's apples and oranges. So I know I said a whole lot real fast. And so, you know, whatever questions that you would like to ask, totally open. And we have a little bit of time. When you're ready, oh, yes, ma'am. So I don't say if you're ready, I say when you're ready, because I expect to hear from all of you. Go to this link, put in a little information, and it'll say, hey, thanks for coming here. If you would want to set a time with one of our sales associates, that's how you're going to do it. They'll reach out to you and basically give you a list of things that we're going to need. They'll interact with you, and then they'll talk about what's going to be best for you if you have a desire to do this or that, or if you want to insure to this level or that level, and then they'll explain to you what, you know, not the consequences, but what the results are going to be by doing that. If somebody's not talking to you, if they come out to you and say, oh, here's what we have, and they only give you one option, that's not the experience that you really want. You are in the driver's seat. You control the scenario. Let's talk through some options to figure out what's going to be best fit for you. And that's going to be the link that we use it. So on that note, I'm going to turn that off and answer questions. Yes.